In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Lord willingly subjects himself to the temptations that come from Satan to remind and set before us for our contemplation first, and then as an awareness of our abilities when we cooperate with God to overcome temptation. The Lord indeed subjects himself to every aspect of the human condition, including death. Of course, never succumbing to sin, never buckling under the weight of the temptations that come, but rather being obedient to his Father, trusting in the words of his Father, finding his strength in the Father. And so it must be for us as well. The temptations that are set before us are real and true. And as we see in our gospel, they come in a variety of different ways. Such is the reality of the tempter. He sets before us things that are not his to give. He sets before us lies and falsehoods, half-truths. He tempts us in any manner of ways, oftentimes things that are closest to our hearts, maybe things that are only known to us, those temptations that are not made manifest to others, but certainly things to which we might easily succumb. And sadly, brothers and sisters, how easily we do that. Precisely fail to call upon God when he alone should be our strength. As many times as I have read and proclaimed this gospel, it hit me yet again that the final temptation that Satan sets before our Lord is the greatest lie that he tells. All these things I will give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. These things don't belong to Satan. These kingdoms that are set before him are not his to actually give. And yet how easily we fall into believing that somehow the things that men set before us and those temptations that are set before us are somehow things that we can grasp hold of. We belong to God first, last, and always. This is not a pious platitude that we profess. It is the very essence of our existences. And if we want to have success in resisting temptation and not crumbling under the pressures of the world that temptation often brings to us, it's only when we push aside the lies that Satan tells and embraces the truth that comes from God. And so what do? In our Lenten season? We pray, we fast, we give alms. We do that as a process of purification, to open up, if you will, as much space in our minds and our hearts for the reality of God, so there is no room for Satan to whisper in our ears the lies that he tells over and over and over again. If we are truly honest, we know and understand how easily it is to give in to temptation. Hence the necessity of the sacrament of penance and reconciliation. There is a long tradition of many of the saints, including St. John Paul II and blessed our St. Teresa of Calcutta, going to confession on a daily basis. Seems counterintuitive. These holy men and women, why would they have had need of confession on a daily basis? And yet it reveals the awareness of sin and the power of God's grace. And for these men who achieved and women who achieved holiness, it was precisely because they never stepped away from the reality of God. They knew that they needed to remain steadfast and close to him in every single moment. And if that included daily confession, then so be it, because they had access in daily confession to the graces that God gives us to resist temptation, to purify ourselves, and to be able to better find our strength in him and in him alone. As I often say to you, I stand before you not as a perfect practitioner of the things that I preach, but rather like you, one on my pilgrim journey to overcome my sins and my temptations. What separates us, brothers and sisters, from the rest of the world is that we understand that we are sinners and do not seek to change the reality of sin, but rather seek to change ourselves. And this might be, after all, the greatest lie that Satan has told us. Not much different than the lie that he tells our Lord, that all of these kingdoms are set before you. Now he's changed it, and he simply says, there is no sin. And the things that you do wrong, you simply must become more and more comfortable with them. And how often people fall into that. In truth, the modern world embraces that with great vigor, not to change themselves, but instead to change God. But what has that brought us? Heartache, sadness, sorrow, and death. And these are real and true things. We live in a society and a culture that is depressed. that self-medicates, that does violence to itself and violence to others. And all of these are responses to living in a way that is not in concert with what God intends for us. The answer, of course, is God, and this is why we are here. But the world refuses to embrace the very reality, the very antidote to the sin that they themselves have embraced. We cannot fall into the same trap. There must be a diligence about us, and also a sense of perseverance and steadfastness. Because the Lord indeed is successful in overcoming temptation and reveals that success is intimately connected to relationship with the Father. We sadly oftentimes are not as successful as the Lord. But that is not a reason to give up. Quite the opposite is true. We double and triple down and renew our efforts to yet again pick ourselves up with grace and continue to move forward with the Lord. The Lenten season for many people is counterintuitive because they see it as simply something that gets dour and dark and sad. They lose sight of the fact that a contemplation of death, that a contemplation of sin, that an awareness of our weakness and our failings, awareness of those things that might tempt us and pull us away from God, provide us with the greatest opportunity to enter into this mystery of joy that comes about through God's mercy and peace. We are not alone, brothers and sisters. We're not doing this by ourselves. It was never God's intention that we would save us through our own machinations or our own natural and native talents. All that we need has been given to us. What we need to do then is cooperate with the blessings and graces that God bestows upon us. This is best done by emptying ourselves and allowing God to be the one who fills us up. As our gospel passage concludes today, it tells us that Satan leaves him. But we know that by the time we end our Lenten journey, that Satan again will return. He will not come to tempt our Lord, but rather tempt all of those around him who will sadly succumb to that temptation and put our Lord to death. But Scripture also tells us that angels came and ministered to him. But we now have one greater than the angels. We have the Prince of Peace, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, who comes to minister to us. How blessed we truly are as we now continue on our Lenten journey, faithful to our disciplines and our sacrifices, never wavering off course. And if we fall and stumble and succumb, we stay not in the muck and the mire of our sins, but through the graces of this very sacrifice, pull ourselves up through grace and move forward with God, knowing that if we can call upon him and remain steadfast to his word, to he himself who is the living word, we truly will be ministered to by God himself, who gives us strength in this life as we prepare for the life to come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.